You're listening to The Quest. The
Quest.
Very nice. I'm Heidi.
I'm Jonathan.
And I'm Kim, the innocent bystander.
Still the innocent bystander.
Still. There are worse things. So today we're talking about one word.
One word?
People who had the courage to say one word.
Yes.
Yeah, at the beginning, I have to admit, I was a little hesitant to say yes.
That's Curtis Sullivan. He mentors underprivileged boys in Franklin, Tennessee.
So, Curtis, why were you hesitant?
Well, looking back, I know my schedule at that time, I was really already busy. But something about those boys that I was burdened, my heart just says, I need to go do something. And that's when I heard about Franktown Open Hearts, and I said yes.
Yes isn't an easy word to say.
No, it's not, Heidi. It's not. But I'm glad I said yes. Being a part of Franktown has changed me in a lot of ways, probably more so, and I've changed the life of some of those boys. When I first showed up for the first few times, I would hug the boys or I would shake their hand. But if you watch me close enough, I would ease back in the background and I would wipe my hand off of my pants. That doesn't happen anymore. But saying yes to Franktown was a pivotal point in my life, and I can trace it back to that moment when I said yes.
Yes is a commitment.
Or an adventure.
The adventure starts with yes.
Yes-siree.
Yep.
You got it.
So Gandalf asked Bilbo if he wanted to go on an adventure, and at first Bilbo said no because he was scared, and then he said yeah.
Or the adventure starts with, yeah, that was my son Josiah. He's 12.
Yeah, works too.
It's better than no way, Jose.
Definitely.
So what about when we're ready for the adventure, but we have to wait to be chosen? We first have to hear someone else say yes.
There are dozens and dozens of people auditioning. They call you out on stage. You're behind a screen so the judges can't see you. You play for 5 minutes, maybe, and they say, okay, thank you. I was pretty nervous, yeah.
Who's that?
That's Jeremy Williams. 17 years ago, he auditioned to play the violin with the Nashville Symphony.
After they hear an hour's worth of people, they'll come back and say, okay, out of that hour, we liked one person, nobody, maybe two people, to move on to the semifinal round. So I just kind of kept, I played, and then I moved on, and then it's kind of like Survivor, you know, you just, whoever's there at the end, and I just somehow kept surviving.
So you made it through the audition, and then what happened?
And you play, and then you go back to your little warm-up room, and a little while later, they come out, and they say, okay, the committee has made their decision, they would like to hire you, Jeremy Williams.
The conductor of the Nashville Symphony said yes.
I'll bet you have to practice a lot.
Yep, we practice a lot on our own. I mean, every day it's 5-6 hours.
And what happens if you make too many mistakes during performances?
Well, if it happened more than once, I'd get fired. Lose my job, yep.
Wow, no pressure there.
There's pressure every day here, yeah. There's a lot of pressure. Every time you're on stage, there is pressure, yeah. One that just, the first one that came to mind was Scheherazade. It has a huge solo in it, a violin, huge violin solo. This was a long time ago in another orchestra, but I played the violin solo there.
Were you afraid to say yes to that kind of commitment?
Playing Scheherazade brought out fear in me like nothing I'd ever experienced.
Fear.
Fear?
Yes, fear. I decided to ask Jill Baird, a counselor at Fellowship, how she thinks fear plays into us saying yes to new opportunities.
Oh, I think fear is a big part of it. Fear of the unknown. Fear of failure.
I'd be asking myself, could I really do that?
Yeah. What if I totally mess up?
So how can we find the confidence to say yes?
I think the confidence to say yes is all about faith. Faith that God will take our yes and do something great with it for His kingdom.
Like Christina Stevens. She goes to fellowship in Brentwood and was recently asked to do something that scared her to death.
Jenny Watson from Women's Ministry called and asked if I would help teach a women's Bible study this fall.
Wow. Did she know you were deathly afraid of public speaking?
Apparently not. And here she was asking me to teach up in front of people. My gut reaction was to say, no way. But I said I'd pray about it.
You were stalling.
Absolutely. But you know what happens when you say you'll pray about something. Most of the time, I already know I'm supposed to say yes. And this time, as I prayed about it, I really felt like God was saying not to let fear define me. He said, just trust me. And so I said, yes.
And then there's Luke and Sandy Luttrell.
Luke and I have 7 kids.
Okay, that's a different kind of yes. I think I would have said no to that.
No way, Jose.
Luke and Sandy go to fellowship in Franklin.
We didn't start out our life together thinking we would have a big family. God just showed us how much of a blessing they are and how much we love them, so we just decided to say yes, that God is in control of it, and so we have 7.
They wanted to get to know their neighbors, right?
I think for us it was sort of a layup, because we had the opportunity and the excuse to say we just moved in, we don't know anybody here, let's just get to know all of our neighbors, and wouldn't you like to get to know your neighbors too, us and other people. And we did what we called kind of a family meal, sort of like a big meal with all of the neighbors. And it was just simple stuff, like, you know, a meet and then ask people to bring things, and they would just all come and we would just eat together. I mean, it was just a time to get to know each other. There wasn't an agenda. There wasn't, you know, we weren't going to break out the Bible at the end of it. Not that there's anything wrong with that. We just didn't do that, so.
There was no weird questions or anything like that. It was just actually asking them about them, listening to their own cues of what's going on in their life, you know.
Absolutely, yeah. They're not projects. They're not, you know, they're not people that we just see in passing and we go in the garage. We actually know them. We know their story. They know ours. And, I mean, it's just normal.
Some people might think that's all a little risky.
Well, it can be. You know, it gets messy, and sometimes you have to sit there and work through different issues with your neighbors. So there's always messiness.
You know, it's one thing to say maybe.
Maybe feels safe.
The word yes is scary.
Unknown.
Risky.
Talk about risky. I've been thinking of Rebecca from last week. I mean, picture it. A guy comes up to her out of nowhere at the well and says God led him to her.
Right. Some people might say that makes no sense.
Ah, but trusting God makes sense
even when it doesn't.
Right. So last week we left off when Abraham's servant had just discovered that God had miraculously led him to Rebekah, the beautiful woman from Nahor, and to the house of Abraham's relatives.
The servant had just given her a gold ring and 2 gold bracelets. Rebecca ran home and told her mother's household about everything.
She had a brother whose name was Laban.
And Laban was like, the man said what?
Kind of like that. As soon as he saw the gold ring and the bracelets on his sister and heard her story, he ran out to the spring to meet the man.
The servant was standing by his camels at the well.
And Laban invited him to come to his house.
Come in, O blessed of the Lord. Why do you stand outside? For I've prepared the house and a place for the camels.
They gave straw and fodder to the camels.
Fodder?
Fodder. And they washed the feet of the man and the men who were with him.
They set food before him to eat.
Or fodder.
Or fodder. But the man said,
I will not eat until I have said what I have to say.
Then he told them the story. How Abraham had become a wealthy man. How Isaac was born to him and Sarah in their old age.
And how he had come to the well to find Isaac's wife.
He told them his conversation with Abraham about where he would find her and how he was to bring the woman with him back to Abraham's house.
Then he told them of his prayer at the well.
O God of my master Abraham, let the woman who says to me, drink, and I will draw for your camels also, be the woman the Lord has appointed for my master's son.
And how Rebekah said
exactly
what he had prayed.
Drink, and I will give your camels drink also.
After he finished his story, he said,
if you plan to show steadfast love and faithfulness to my master, tell me now.
Laban, Rebekah's brother, and Bethuel, Rebekah's father, answered,
the thing has come from the Lord. We cannot speak to you bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before you. Take her and go, and let her be the wife of your master's son as the Lord has spoken."
When Abraham's servant heard their words, he bowed himself to the earth before the Lord.
Then he brought out some more fabulous jewelry and clothes and gave them to Rebekah.
And wisely, the servant gave Rebekah's mother
and brother
some fabulous gifts too.
They ate and drank and spent the night there. And in the morning, the servant said,
"Send me away to my master."
But Rebekah's mother and brother said,
"Let the young woman remain with us a while, please."
"Yes, at least 10 days. After that, she may go."
But he said to them,
"Do not delay me, since the Lord has prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master."
Fine. Let us call the young woman and ask her.
And they called Rebekah and said to her,
"Will you go with this man?"
And she said,
"I will go."
Rebekah had been asked to play a solo, and she said,
"Yes."
Do you ever wonder what Rebekah was thinking during those 2 weeks while she traveled with the servant?
Was she afraid?
She was traveling with a stranger to go meet her husband, sight unseen.
That took some serious faith.
Like Luke and Sandy.
Well, we're already eating meals. You know, you eat three meals a day, 7 days a week. So it's just inviting them into some of that, some of those meals. You know, it's no different than what Jesus did when he was here. He was out with his disciples and out with the people, and it came dinner time, and so they ate together. You know, it's just about being present, being with them, and loving on them through the simplest thing of the meal.
Like Curtis Sullivan.
"Yeah, we get some boys in Franktown who are pretty troubled, but I know God has me there at this point in my life to make a difference. I just have to be still enough and to be really dependent on him to keep saying yes, which I will."
Like Christina Stevens.
"Well, I have my first teaching session coming up, and I'm a little freaked out. I might make some mistakes, you know, like drop my notes or stumble over my words or trip or something. But I know God's called me to this."
So, Jeremy, what happens if you make too many mistakes?
"Well, I sure won't be asked to play a solo again, that's for sure."
There's pressure in saying yes.
Performing.
Getting it right.
So what happens if I say yes to God and I mess up?
Yeah, like a big fat mistake.
What if I fail?
That's a big question.
He says, "Sorry, that's the last solo you ever play for me."
No, he doesn't.
No way, Jose.
"Yeah, it is always going to be messy because we are humans. And humans are messy and needy of God all the time. And the good news, the great news, the gospel news is that Jesus was perfect, so we don't have to be."
Grace.
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 It takes faith to say yes.
Yeah, faith that no matter what, God will take our yes and even our mistakes and do something great with it for his kingdom.
Like Curtis.
Like Christina.
Like Jeremy.
Like Luke and Sandy.
Like Rebekah.
And Isaac went out to meditate in the field toward evening.
And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, there were camels coming.
And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she dismounted from the camel.
And she said to the servant,
"Who is that man walking in the field to meet us?"
The servant said,
"It is my master."
So she took her veil and covered herself.
And the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done.
Then Isaac brought Rebekah into the tent of Sarah, his mother.
She became his wife.
And he loved her.
All because she said,
yes. I'm Kim.
I'm Jonathan.
I'm Heidi. And you've been listening to
The Quest.